Wow! Hacks is back for season three. How does it feel?
Watch this. Hacks is back on Max.
Hacks is back on Max.
Hacks is back on Max. Hacks is back on Max.
Okay, let's do. Imagine me, a woman with a late night show. Pat, how was your experience? That would never happen. Imagine not because of me, it was because of no woman.
Taylor Tomlinson, Lily Singh.
I know, but they're not being given couch, and they should be given couch.
They should be given
Taylor
couch.
Taylor should be given couch.
I give great couch.
I that give would great be, couch.
That would be such that a would be joke such, in yeah. like 2013.
The subway ad would be like, she gives great couch.
We're here to talk today about the show Hacks on HBO Max.
So, hey, Pat, I'm late night. If there's a world, imagine a complete fantasy land, a utopia.
Well, it's funny that you say this because, you know, season three of Hacks really deals with Deborah's coming off of a huge win at the end of season two, and it was so fun to write.
Well, you got to keep dreaming.
I do think season three is the best season.
That is so exciting. Yeah.
And so,
well, I have to say, your clip, I'm floored. You're such a great actor. It's so funny. It's so well done. Like, the timing is exquisite. Like, it's so like. Tonally, it's just so
directed by Lucia Aniello. Yeah, so good. She's such a good director.
I was gonna say you were so well directed in that clip. Yeah. Like, tonally, it's just even. It's beautiful.
Yeah, and then they just make it is so nice when I mean I've only been in a few things on screen, but it's nice when they make you look good. And I think that
you
they
look
do
great.
A really good job.
And Hacks is back for season three. And sorry. And what I'm excited about, and you know, I'm so excited, is that so is the official Hacks podcast,
right, which I was also lucky enough to appear on.
Yes,
there's no video component, but I did show up looking absolutely next Tuesday, just in case. But so just know as you're listening to it that I look fully see you next Tuesday the whole time.
And other guests include Hannah Einbinder, of course, Jean Smart, and Jay Smith Cameron, the director of photography, the costume designer, and other members of the cast and crew. And you guys are all talking about the creative choices that went into making the show. Is that right?
Yes.
And thanks for joining me on my late night show.
Yes, we were talking about where it was fun when I went on because like we were talking about that day of shooting and like how it was. And then we also were just talking about like, as viewers will know at the end of season two, Deborah and Ava part ways. And and there is quite a bit of finality to it where many people thought it was the end of the show. So we talk about like what that process was of like coming back and deciding how we wanted to bring them together and like and when we should and that dance. And it actually is so fun. I do love TV writing. It is really fun to me, and it's so fun to talk about that process like a year later.
Pat Regan, everybody, thank you so much. Thank you so much. So you are going to get to hear all those stories. If you like that, there's a whole podcast about it. It's not this one. It's called the Hacks Official Podcast. So y'all, don't mess around. Watch my friend's show, Hacks. I'm not actually in it, which is okay. So watch Hacks and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcast. All right, love you guys.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
Dating and love, seek treatment. If you're boring as fun, seek treatment. If you're unlucky in love, seek treatment. If you just can't take a hint, well, seek treatment. With Kat
and Pat.
Hey, it's Catherine Cappuccino.
It's Patrick Cappuccino.
And this is Seek Treatment, a podcast about boys, sex, fucking dating, and love.
Right.
That's what it's about. That's what it's about.
That's what
and we are here with my favorite
about.
People in the entire world, and the stars aligned because I've been trying to get on the pod for a million years, and today I said, hey, what if today?
What
she
if
said,
today
actually,
happens?
Yeah. Put your ears open for the fabulous, the talented, the wonderful Catherine Gallagher.
Hi, Mary. Do you ever get married, Catherine Gallagher?
I do.
Of course.
I do. It is an honor.
What was your relationship with that film?
I've never seen it.
You've never seen that film?
Even still.
Never seen that film.
It's one of the finest films of our day.
It is.
I want to see it because I love Molly Shannon in a way I like, can't really explain.
It's
I read her book and it,
people
it really... was one of the most powerful experiences I've had reading
what people say is good thing.
Yeah, as they should.
So dark.
She is just one of the most... Also, she was in one of my best friends' made a film called... My Best Friend's Wedding. One of my best friends made a film called A Good Person, and she was in it and gave one of the most incredible performances. I'm just obsessed with Anna Paquin.
What is A Good Person?
Let's dive on in. It's one of the most heart-wrenching movies I've ever seen in my life. It made me cry like a baby. When he sent me the script, I was snot crying, and that's when you really know you're screwed.
Totally.
But it's starring Florence Pugh and Morgan Freeman and Molly Shannon, and one of my best friends, Zach, wrote and directed it. And
did it just come out?
Yeah, it was like a few months ago. It's very everyone see it.
Okay. Oh, it just came out?
Girl,
it came out in March.
That's just me, to be honest.
That is just
to me. It feels a lifetime ago.
No, Molly Shannon is the iconista.
She really is.
And whenever you're ready to let Mary Catherine into your life,
I know it feels so sacred that I want it to be like.
I know.
Totally. You keep it you're saving idea. Yourself.
Yeah, I'm saving myself. Saving myself for Mary Catherine.
How are you feeling today?
You know, actually. Good.
I'm so glad.
I haven't been able to truthfully say I'm feeling good today in like years.
Oh my god, really? That's amazing.
Yeah, wow, what is your pain?
I mean, I'm just the
new segment.
How long do we have?
Yeah.
As long as you want, baby girl. Oh.
I will say the last 4 to 5 years have been, I have witnessed a kind of brutality of the heart that I did not know was capable of happening.
It is brutal. Your heart or the heart of another or both?
My hurt at the hands of a few others was, I also say that, and that sounds like I'm sort of like pushing off blame, and that's, I was a very, as we all struggle with self-esteem, I was in relationships and situations, friendships, everything that were very much like, valid, I'll do anything you want to make, you know, you love me, and I did for so long.
Yeah, and I want to work on my attachment style.
Me too.
Yeah.
Someone said...
you're attached in a good way.
Yeah.
Yeah, but what you're talking about needing the validation is really huge for me. Yeah.
Someone said this to me, and it changed my life. She said, you have really had confidence. She says, you know how to walk into a room, and you know how to...
For sure.
How to be make confident, how to own it. You have extremely low self-esteem.
Oh.
And I was like, ouch. I was like, ugh. And what she meant by that was like, you don't know what you're worth.
Yeah.
And so you take so much less than you should.
You are hitting the seek treatment hard.
Yeah. I'm in a place right now, I just have a slipping off, where I will not go into my late 30s with low self-esteem.
You can't
do
it.
I'm not doing it. It's so painful to have low self-esteem.
Because you just, especially when you're someone who like, I think, in order to do what we do, we have to have some sort of an inflated ego. Like, we have to be like, you're going to spend your hard-earned dollars to watch me on stage. Yeah.
Which a large ego doesn't mean a high self-esteem.
No. And I think often it means the opposite, because we're also constantly being like, did you like what I did on that stage?
Yeah.
Was it good enough for you?
I once read that a large ego doesn't mean that you think too highly of yourself or too lowly of yourself. It means you think too often of yourself.
Oh, that is
savage.
That is
savage. Savage.
That is honestly. Yeah.
Absolutely. It's because we're Leos.
I know.
I'm because we're Leos.
I also found out that my Chiron is in Leo, which is my wound. I'm sure yours is, because so many performers and stuff.
I wonder where my wound is.
I'll find out where your wound is.
I'm wounded.
I know. I'll find out where your wound is.
Yeah.
We're all wounded.
But Kevin, who was this person that told you this? This is very wise.
So she's a therapist. She's like a life coach and a therapist. I met her in Ireland. And when I was over there over in January, I met her. And I was telling her sort of about the situation.
Yeah.
And she called me. She was like, And she was so sweet about it. She's not my therapist. She's just a brilliant, brilliant
woman. I'm obsessed with meeting out therapists in the wild.
Oh,
okay.
And she was so, she was very much like, can I tell you, like, can we have this? She was very respectful. And I was like, yeah. And then she told me that. And I, every single second, honestly, since I've been like, what am I getting out of this situation? Why do I need this person to call me? Why do I need to have this conversation? Why do I want to text this person that, like, I don't even like?
Damn. So
what
real.
Is that?
It's tricky when you do like them. It's like two things can be true vibes, but it's like you do like them, but also, separate from you liking them, your entire self-worth becomes about how if they like you back. Like,
yes.
Then you can't even write it off as like, well, they're shitty, but it's like, but there's also no way to sustain a successful or, like, relationship that feels good when that's the dynamic. For you or for them, I think.
No. you have to really be able to look at all of the, someone, I forget who said this to me, it was years ago now, but someone said, after you spend time with someone, take an energy stock, like take stock of your energy source and like, do you have more or do you have less?
Yeah.
Wow.
When you leave people, you want to feel you're energized. When you feel drained.
I've been struggling with that so much lately.
I know.
How did this therapist in the
what
wild
T-I-T-W
you get the self-esteem up to meet the confidence?
To be honest, she was more just like, her biggest thing was like, ask yourself what you want.
Mm-hmm.
'Cause I had just been on this date that was like, honestly really fun, but I felt weird about it. And I was like, I don't know if it went well. And she goes, did you have fun?
Yeah.
What did you think? How did you feel with this person?
Ugh.
And I was like, I'm so sorry. That is not part of the equation.
I know.
Like, was I pretty enough? What did I look
exactly.
like? Did they like me?
Oh my God.
And it's just switching the conversation and realizing like your experience of the person, the, you know, and it's also like auditions. When you walk in, like, it's not like, did you get the job? It's like, did I perform in a way that felt connected?
Yeah.
In a way that felt grounded? Like every single room you walk into, are you responding to get something out of someone else?
Yeah.
Or are you just showing up and giving what you got?
Oh,
yeah.
So
I'm not good at it yet, but I'm working on it.
Yeah.
Just the first step, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
so hard to, like, having a high self-esteem feels so nebulous and so, like, where do you begin? But I guess it's a good way to start.
I think just understanding, like, that your experience is valuable.
Mm-hmm.
That your time is valuable, but your energy is valuable.
Oh, I feel like I'm just like constantly giving my time and energy to other things because I'm like so scared of someone being mad at me.
Yeah.
Yes.
But I feel like you have a higher self-esteem than you give yourself credit for. Like,
no.
No? Okay.
I don't.
Good to know.
I don't know.
I don't. Yeah. I understand why you think that.
I admire the way you move through the world sometimes where it's like you don't give as much time to what other people think of you, whereas I'm like dying to... I'm so, so scared of anyone being mad at me or not liking me that it's like, I actually was like, Brian and I were literally having this really intense conversation before we were potting.
Because
I was just like, I woke up with like a crick in my neck and then I was just like, you and your body starts to like feel the stress for you.
It's really bad.
And he was like, what are you feeling? And I was like, I'm just like, I feel like I have to impress everyone or I'm going to lose everything.
Yeah.
And it's like, what, where does that come from?
My question is like, okay, so what if you do lose everything? What does that mean? Who do you lose? I don't think you lose Brian. You don't lose me. You don't lose Pat. Like, when you really ask yourself, this is actually Stephanie Stiles.
My girl.
Her fiance, John West, is a big, she always says that these are the questions he asks, which is like, okay, so then what happens?
Yeah.
So your worst fear happens, then what?
Yeah.
What do you lose?
Yeah, I do feel like that in this moment. I do feel like that in this moment, in multiple areas. But I think that, like, I think mine isn't so much about this, like, amorphous mass of people who I can, like... But if I feel attached to someone, then their thoughts on me become... I think it's based on my parents.
It always is.
Yeah. A film based on your parents.
Yeah.
But I feel like maybe you feel this way, too. I feel it's not that I'm... It's more that I want to be able to do what I love, and that requires...
People to love you.
People to fucking care about me.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah.
And so I think the idea of losing all that is really scary. Like, oh, so I don't get to do this thing that makes me feel like whole and happy.
I agree. That is a thing. We're also in a moment in that is unprecedented times, to be honest.
Literally.
Yeah.
The phrase of the decade. But it is this moment where things change very quickly. And the internet is a fucking terrifying place.
Yeah.
Like, you open your phone and you can see 100 people being like, you're so hot, slay. And then 3 people being like, I think you should die.
I know.
And you're like, note taken.
Yeah.
Note taken. So it is hard to be, when your whole job relies on connecting with people, but you fear that if you're vulnerable, they might see something in you that makes you unlovable.
Mm.
We all have parts of ourselves that feel unlovable.
Yeah.
And not everyone, that's the other thing is, people are gonna, people are gonna not like you.
Yeah.
Like, they will. And so
they won't love you.
No!
Yeah.
It's all conditional except for, like, 0.01% of the people in your life.
Yeah.
And how do you have a job where you need you do. You're a performer. Like, you need ticket buyers. You need people to show up. You need people to watch your shows. Mm-hmm. How do you navigate, like, being a person? I think the only thing you can do is be a person that when you go to bed at night, you feel happy about.
Yeah.
And then trust that if you are that person, they'll love what you do.
Yeah, totally. You have to do the things that, like, you can feel proud of. That's what I do think. Anytime I'm going through something hard where I'm, like, I want to be able to say I handled this in a way that I'm, like, proud of. Yeah. And so I can't, like, act out or I can't do things that if someone else did that, I would, like, be like, that's a stupid thing to do.
I've never handled anything in a way that I'm proud of.
I know, but that's
how you get,
I think that's how you get self-esteem.
But I disagree, Kat. I think you are one of, like, the most admirable people I know.
Don't you dare.
No, it's really true. I think the way that you've moved through, like, several very, like, complicated moments in your life and heartaches and different things has been, like, I feel like you've always moved with grace and kindness and, like, an open ear and, like, a real willingness and like, quest to, like, learn and grow. And
thank you, Angel.
You have a lot of grace.
I guess I feel like I'm cutting to the way I dump it all on Brian and then, like, then he, like, leaves the room, like, shaking. And I'm like, and they're, like, yelling after him. I'm like, don't leave me. And he's like, but,
Wait, how, I'll answer you if I'll say, how old are you?
I turned 30 on Sunday. Are you sure?
Yeah. Wait, why? I know, why are you wise?
She's so wise. I've
been through hell.
I'm 25 almost.
Since I met you, well, it's so great having a podcast, but before I knew you, I was like, most glamorous, confident, talented angel in the world.
And then I knew you.
No. I was like, but also so kind and generous, which is rare.
But are you Broadway?
I was.
What shows?
Spring Awakening, Deaf West, and Drag a Little Pill.
Oh,
cool. Jagger was her big one.
Jagger was the big.
It was Major Lazer. I cannot stop saying Major Lazer after Sarah Sherman came on the podcast.
Oh, interesting.
Sarah Sherman came on, she was going, that's Major Lazer.
Major Lazer.
I'm doing a lot of Let's Not and Say We Did.
Oh, I like that.
But on this podcast,
Major Lazer a DJ?
Major Lazer, I believe, is a DJ from, like, 2007.
Yeah, that feels right. Okay.
And so cool, I do keep saying it for no reason.
Major Lazer, okay.
But on this podcast, I like to ask everyone one question.
Okay.
It's who were you,
who are you, and who do you want to be?
But. And this can be interpreted any way you want, but, like, let's go back to the beginning.
Who was
you? Born, the moon, the you grew sun, up in LA. The stars,
well, I grew up in New York, aligned. Weirdly.
Oh, did you?
So I'm a split. I'm bicoastal in a true way.
Where will you be?
She was born this way, bicoastal.
Yeah, I was born this way. I was born this way.
Happy Pride.
Amen. I was born in New York Hospital. I grew up on the Upper West Side. I moved to LA when I was 11, and then moved back to New York when I was 21.
What was 11 like?
Hell.
When I hear things that are named, like, New York blank, I'm like, that was, like, it must have been named before they knew, like,
it was New York.
Nothing could just be a New York hospital. Like, there's millions going on.
It's the New York hospital.
I think about that with New York University sometimes. I'm like, they didn't realize, like...
They did not know.
This was not going to be...
It's been a long time coming, yeah.
Like, you can't just name something the way you can name something, like, you know, Toledo University or whatever.
Yeah.
Just name it. And I love Toledo.
Of course.
Everyone does.
New York University had no idea what was coming next.
New York
Hospital, it's like...
New York Hospital,
they were like, oh, like, it'll be a hospital for a small town.
New York Hospital is called it,
you thought you did that.
You thought we did that.
New York Hospital called it did that.
New York Hospital did think you did that.
So you're 11 years old, which is arguably the hardest time to be able to live in LA.
It was...
And your family's like, sorry, bitch, we're going to LA.
Yeah. Yeah.
And what was that like?
Hopped in the cab.
Can I tell you an interesting thing? The first year was awesome. First year was awesome because my dad's on an extremely successful television show.
Yeah, we do. Kind of the most major show in the world.
What show?
The OC.
Oh my god. Wait.
Do you see it now? We're very similar.
Peter
Gallagher became a woman and it's me.
Oh my god.
Your dad really did raise a generation of teens.
He did. He became everyone's dad.
Was that hard for you?
You know what? I have the best parents. Like, I lucked out.
Yeah.
Like, hi, baby.
She goes, do you want to kill your baby? She goes, I need to give that love. She is so fucking
good. I love you.
I'm wounding her.
I love you, Kate. Oh, yeah.
I have her necklace for you.
Oh, thank you.
I love
Brilliant.
You. I love you.
Okay, so you're...
So, yeah, so I mean, I love my parents.
Were you like, dad booked the job, we're moving?
We spent a year when he was... So, because you never know if the show's going to be a hit.
Right.
So, He filmed the pilot.
But that one, he definitely knew.
Oh, so you thought you were right.
We were right.
When they went to Tijuana, when the Tijuana episode aired, they moved to LA.
Yeah, honestly. After the pilot was filmed, we were like, oh, this is very good.
Yeah.
And
you're like, California here.
Literally. Wait, that's actually funny. So the first season, we realized the AC goes off, and I realized I'm like at 100 decibels.
No, I know. I was like,
sometimes the AC's so loud, sometimes it's so quiet.
I can't believe I've been literally having my wound healed. My Sandy Cohen's daughter. Off screen daughter.
It's my generational duty. It's my generational duty.
Can I ask if you knew the talented young cast?
Oh, very well.
You know, I met Adam when I was in LA.
We're cousins. Like, we're very much all family.
He's Major Lazer.
He's Major Lazer.
No, he's so good in Fleischman.
He's so talented.
He really is genius.
The whole cast, I mean, we really grew up, like, as cousins. Yeah. Like, we all. But yeah, so the show, the first season, my dad would commute. So I'd see him, like, for about 12 hours every month.
That's so
Like,
hard.
He would fly in on the weekends. And, you know, like, what a good fucking dad. Like, he would fly in.
I actually can't imagine.
Every 2 weeks, maybe. And spend like be like on a red eye like oh, just like
after
hang
shooting
out,
all the all
after
week.
Shooting like
you are know. You gonna do that come see me every weekend when you move to LA
I think so yeah. I mean
after
honestly
shooting. after shooting
he'd be like you know he'd land we'd spend 12 hours together and at the time I didn't know what kind of like sacrifice and what sort of energy he was expending but that was an unsustainable way to live our lives and live his life and you know so we moved to LA for the second season and everyone wanted to be my friend. So I was kind of like, this is great. Like, everyone likes me so much. I must be so cool.
Wow.
However, then that didn't last because they didn't like me for... I had no... Like, I got... They... Basically, like, the boys a year above me, I had a crush on one of them. They thought that was really funny.
Yeah. Was this terrible?
It was hilarious. And he really liked the OC, so he sort of messaged me. Gay. Homosexual. And honestly, I was, and I just didn't know it. But he would message me on MySpace and be like, hey, he basically there was an AIDS walk. We all were there. My dad sang. So everyone was like pointed at me. Yeah. Like they were like, oh my God. And everyone tried to be my friend after that. I thought he had a crush on me. He did not.
Oh, what a weird dynamic.
Then it became a joke. And then they started calling me. And, asked me on a date. And we'd be like, hey, do you want to go out Friday? And I said yes. And then the whole room erupted in laughter. And they were like, haha, you're fat. And then once the boys started hating me, my friends all dumped me.
This is so middle school.
So
how old are you?
This is a wound. So this is when I was like 12, 13. And once my friends stopped.
Suction, Your Honor.
Literally. My friends stopped being my friend. Friends, they didn't like me anymore when the boys didn't like me, and then it got really mean, and I was getting like sad boys,
so
a lot of prank
calls. I am so sorry.
It's a fucking joke. Did you tell your family about what was going on, or did you like keep it all in?
I kept it all in, but like they knew, like the phone was ringing a lot, and I was like in my room hysterically crying.
Oh my god, I'm so sorry.
Oh, it was like, so, and they were like, and I was starting to make music, it was like a kind of cruelty that
holy shit.
When I look back I thought everyone was I didn't know it was so rare and now when I look back on it, I'm like you know I remember one of them I had a music video come out and someone created a YouTube account that said anyone who's not related to you will tell you that this is pure unadulterated shit go find something more suited for you and your man shoulders like football
don't forget that
never and so my parents then made me switch schools and I at that point I didn't want to because I sort of like found new friends I was like don't make me do it again
oh god
but when I had a in middle school a group of friends that I did after school theater with mm-hmm. that are still my best friends and a lot of them are at my new school so when I went to my new school I had like and those the people I met at my new school were
and that's like
still
the crew
my best
that's
like Ben group. That's Bean like that's Natalie crew.
Ben Bean and Natalie
Ben Bean and Nat Ben Bean and Nat
Natalie who
Natalie Margolin one of the greatest writers I've ever met in my
who
whole
briefly
life.
Subletted my apartment
oh my god
miss you now
Ben and Bean of course
Ben and Bean
Men in Need have yet to ask to sub at my place, but they're more than welcome to if you're in need.
They're welcome to sub at the place. But yeah, so I
you found your crew.
I found my crew.
That is so traumatic.
Wow. It was awful.
I was just talking about
how, like, I got nervous talking about it. I'm like,
I don't blame you.
Do you know what thought I had the other day on the subway platform?
When
I
go
was,
on.
I did see a movie poster for theater camp.
Yeah.
And I yes. think to myself, this is like the Barbie movie for our level.
Yeah.
Where it's like, if you're not in it, what are you doing? You know what I mean? Theater camp is the Barbie movie for our level.
I actually, the other day, I was like, I texted you, I was like, why am I actively sad that I'm not in the Barbie movie?
Yeah.
I told my parents this, and my dad goes, what? He in earnest goes, did you want to be Barbie? He was really trying to be sweet. I was like, no, that's what I'm saying. I was like, there's so many little parts, and all these cool people are doing it.
There was something about the casting on that movie that I bristle at. Like, something about, like, the assembly of it feels so, like, you know what I mean? Like,
because everything is made in a lab.
You know what I mean? Yeah, everything it's like, there's a woman in a white coat being like, and then we'll place
yeah,
like,
yeah, yeah.
You know what I mean?
Half those people, they were created in the lab to be in the Barbie movie.
Totally.
I think
totally.
So.
But let me say this. Yeah. I was just talking the other day about this thing, because I remember a phenomenon when I was, like, around the same age, where, like, basically, once every few weeks, we would, as a group, decide, like, we didn't like this role in our group anymore.
Yeah.
Yes!
And then it happens to you, and you're like, wait, it's my week. Like, yeah. I can't handle it.
When it's your week.
When it's your week. I remember the girls would, we were at summer camp, and they would spray Febreze on me while I was sleeping, and laugh at me, and I'd be like, please don't do that.
It's so mean.
LOL. Oh my god.
But so then you were carrying this wound, but you were still making your art, which is messy.
Yeah, it's why I started working so hard at music, because I was like, if I work really hard, I won't have to be in school anymore.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
I'm
getting out of this hot one day.
Okay. Yeah, honestly, it is. But I like, and I did. I started like playing shows at 15. I got a record or a development deal, which then I left because we didn't share the same artistic vision. Which was like, okay, bold 15-year-old move.
Let me ask you this: so were your parents always like really encouraging of your artistic pursuits?
They were very encouraging of my artistic pursuits. They were very much like, you have one chance to be a kid.
Yeah.
And I was like, I was quite a driven kid, and I would go on backstage.com and I found an audition for a movie that was at the time called Rock Camp Rules, which is now goes by the name of Camp Rock. And I
we rock
and I told my parents, I was like, I have to audition
for
this.
Yeah,
and they were like, no,
you would have been really good in that.
That was the Barbie movie for your life.
That was the Barbie movie for my life.
Like the Barbie movie for your level, you have to put yourself out there.
You have to.
Yeah.
But my parents were like, no. And so I cried, and then I went into my room and I wrote a song called I'm Okay.
Oh, that I need to write was that like, song.
Yeah, you have to write. We all enjoy that song.
No, listen to it. Just write your
I gotta update it. Which was about saying, like, you have to trust that I can do this and I can be okay. And there's a line that's like, I'll always be daddy's little girl. Like, I was like, really, like, and I think I was 14 or 13 maybe when I wrote that. And
so precious.
They did let me audition, and I got a call back for
Lola.
Sings on a lunch table.
Oh,
I did not vote. I think I could sing on a lunch table.
Yeah,
you would rock it on a lunch table. You can't rock it on a lunch table.
Yeah. I can't rock it.
Is your brother younger or older?
Older, 3 years older.
Oh, and you're super close?
Very close. But not until he went to college.
That's classic.
Yeah.
Costco tomatoes.
Because he was a senior freshman.
Yes, yeah.
That is senior the most amazing dynamic in the world.
What's classic is freshman girl, senior boy, but what's also classic is freshman boy, senior girl.
Do you have siblings?
I'm one of six.
Dropping that.
But I was like, with my older brother, we were kind of like freshman, sophomore, junior, senior.
Okay.
And of course, senior.
The classic Irish twins.
Irish
twins. We're almost Irish twins, but we're not.
Okay,
close.
Okay.
We are Irish.
What are you guys? 2 years?
We were senior freshmen, senior freshmen.
Oh, senior freshmen.
We're all like two
senior
years fresh. Apart. Yeah.
I don't.
And you know, both my brothers live in this building.
Yes, because wasn't this your brother's apartment?
Exactly.
Because we were at your old place, we came here.
You remember?
Yeah, I remember.
Senior
freshmen. I'll never
forget.
Senior freshmen, both boy. I don't love senior freshmen, both boy. I have to say.
It doesn't
senior
work.
Freshman. I get senior freshman, both girl. I get it.
I couldn't.
I think both would be.
I get it.
So it's okay. Both hard.
So you're moving your way towards high school. And
yeah.
You're feeling a little better.
I just was like, I really didn't slow down. I didn't let myself feel any, like, I would feel pain and then I'd be like, waste of time. Like, yeah. I was sprinting towards adulthood since I was 8.
Yeah.
That's so LA.
Yeah, I was really, I just was very, I think if I had stopped to feel anything, I don't know if I would have ever left my room. Like, yeah. When I look back at, like, the, like, how awful it was.
Yeah.
If that happened to me now, totally. I wouldn't survive it. Like, I don't know. I admire younger me so much because I just had this, like, raw belief that there was something better to come.
She was right.
I mean, but you know what's interesting? Because now I'm like, it wasn't what I thought it was. Like, my dad always said this, like, success is never going to look like what you thought it would.
Yeah.
And goddamn, was he right. Yeah. Like, it never comes in the package that you know, expected.
What does it look like?
Well, but that's, I think, the biggest thing is, like, if you're constantly chasing this sort of, like, falsified idea of what success looks like, you quite literally will never find any joy.
Yeah.
You just need to reassess.
Yeah.
Values.
But it's not values, because that makes it seem like what you want is not admirable or is not good or is cheap. It's not values. It's like, just think about, like, what I'm trying to do right now is, like, what's a thing today that could make me happy?
Mm.
I've never asked myself that question before, like, 28. Yeah. I was always like, how can I strategize? How can I move forward? What can I do? And
you're only a cryptic and Machiavellian because you care.
I'm only a cryptic and Machiavellian because I care.
So were you, one famous pod question, were you hooking in heist?
Yeah.
I was not. I was really driven.
Yeah.
I really was not. I didn't go to prom. I didn't get asked, to be fair. But like, my senior year. Did?
Yeah, you went for both of us.
Yeah.
For all of us. I started dating a guy who was in college my senior year, and that was, like, the most sort of, like,
that's fun intense, I had.
He absolutely stopped talking to me, like, off the bat, let me tell you.
How'd you meet him?
He went to my high school.
Oh, I see.
And then he, like, graduated, okay, and then he'd, like, come pick me up in his, let me tell you, Mustang.
Sex on stick.
Sex on stick.
But I actually had this conversation with a friend of mine where I was like, I mean, I'm very bi, and I'm really, truly, like, right down
there. For some reason, I thought you could say, I'm very biased.
I'm very biased.
And I love Mustang.
But, like, I think for me, I've realized, there's times when I think about this generation growing up, like, I didn't, like, see any queer women growing up.
Yeah.
Like, it was Ellen.
Yeah.
That was, like, it.
It was Ellen, it was Rosie, but even Rosie.
No, I literally didn't know, like, lesbians existed.
I didn't know you could be a lesbian.
Marissa Cooper, bi queen.
Honestly. No, that was actually the most major event.
That was major.
That rocked my world in the Her and Olivia Wilde.
I didn't like it. I was like, she needs to go for God.
She needs to go for God.
I was like, oh my God, that's allowed.
But do you think, like, I look back and I'm like, if I was growing up in the way the world is now,
yes,
I would have dated girls in high school.
100.
I think I was in love with, like, some thoughts.
Of course. Yeah. My shred of bi would have been Massivo by now.
I wonder
what I would have done in today's world. Because I think in my school, it still wouldn't be like that.
When did you come out? And where did you grow up?
25 years young. I grew up on Long Island, but Catholic school.
Okay, interesting. Yeah. At 25, okay.
Yeah.
That's,
so it was late.
That's actually same. What? I came out at 25.
Yeah.
So you were dating men, and then you went to college.
It was like, I was sort of dating men, but I wasn't dating anyone. I was like falling in love with people that were unavailable, so I never had to deal with it. Yeah. I was like, if I love people entirely out of reach, I'll never have to be vulnerable with anyone.
Yeah.
And then, to be honest, when Trump was elected, I was like, I can't look at men. Uh-huh. And I turned women on and Raya.
Yeah.
And I went on a few dates with girls, but never anything serious. And then I met my ex-girlfriend when I was 25. And I was
How long did you date?
7 really long.
Yeah.
7 months. It changed my whole life.
Do you feel like when you started dating women, it was like, mind equals blown, like everything?
It was more like I'd just never been in love before.
Oh,
and I met someone who I was like, I understood what they wrote songs about.
Yeah.
Like,
everything about the world seemed brighter and more brilliant and more beautiful. And, like, I loved her in a way I didn't know was possible.
Yeah.
It was so earth-shattering and beautiful and wonderful. And unfortunately, that was a relationship that, like, was really harmful and bad and continued to be, like, post-breakup was, like, quite traumatic. But I'm so grateful to have it had that sort of earth-shattering experience. But because it was such a so singular with her, that when I then, after we broke up, I was like, am I gay? Am I straight? Like, I don't even know.
Totally.
Yeah. And then I started dating another girl who's still a dear friend of mine for a minute. And then I was like, I had a crush on a boy. And then I was like, oh my God, I'm a bisexual. Yeah. Like, for real.
Yeah.
For real.
We exist.
Were you heartbroken?
I was heartbroken in a way I didn't. I think in that course of that relationship, I lost maybe 25 pounds.
Yeah.
I had night terrors. Oh, yeah. I had panic attacks on the regular. Like, I mean, that relationship was quite.
Yeah.
I'm going to steer away from the A word because I'm afraid of, like, getting sued or, like, someone really losing it. But.
Toxic.
It was really.
Yeah.
How did this, like, first big love coincide with, like, your work stuff? Because wasn't it, like, blowing up at the same time?
Yeah, we broke up and the timeline was like my grandma died.
Oh God!
I went to go visit her. Without giving too many details, I wrote a song called "Friends to Entertain." Last verse happened, and I flew back to New York and I went straight into press for Jagged. 2 weeks later, we started rehearsals, and like Jagged is a show where like it's very similar to my own experience. My character got sexually assaulted. It was like a very, we reenacted in the show. I get monologue about it. It's like a real, she's not doing a comedy every night, you know?
Out on the stage.
Oh, I wish I saw it.
It was so good. It was so good.
Thank you. I was so happy when you came.
Me too.
It's very powerful.
I have to say, I wish I saw it.
There's a bootleg.
Okay, I'll see
you. Yeah, it's on tour.
Okay.
Why are you doing it?
No.
Well, I don't want to see some random.
I'll send you a boot. I'll send you the boot. Yeah, when we broke up, it was like 2 weeks, and then I was in deep rehearsals for Jagged, which thank God was a thing I cared about so much that I wasn't. I'm really glad I had something to care about that was bigger.
Yeah.
Because I had to.
Mm-hmm.
I had to show up for myself. And I knew that I would regret it for the rest of my life if I let this moment pass without giving it everything I had. And so what was powerful about that was I was such a raw nerve that I think I accessed parts of myself that I like don't know if I would have been able to 2 years prior.
Mm.
And then, you know, I think it's just important to, it was a beautiful moment where I got to zoom out and say, like, who do you love? Do you love this person who has in no way taken care of you or made you feel valued or respected? Or do you love yourself? Who do you want to show up for? Do you want to show up for yourself?
Yeah.
Do you want to show up for someone who's caused you exclusively pain in the last, you know, several months? And I thankfully also, like, my family and my friends really made it a time that I could survive.
Oh, thank God.
Because with doing the show at the same time as going through that breakup, there'd be no world in which I could have done that without, like, really leaning on people in a way I'd never been able to before in my life.
Totally.
It was very powerful. And a really a good lesson on, like, oh, who can you count on?
Yeah.
When you want to
talk. Amen.
Yeah.
You know?
The universe will show you who your friends are.
They will.
Yay.
They really will.
The universe will show you.
The New York universe.
The New York universe. You thought.
The New York universe.
And so who are you now?
Now, so much better.
Oh, God.
So much better. I think, you know, I went through, like, a process of 4 years where, like, I, you know, had a real battle with, it was sort of, like, at a certain point, I was like, grow up, Catherine.
Grow up. I need to grow the fuck up.
Yeah, me too.
Well, it's just this moment where I was like, why are you with people that don't like you?
Oh.
Like, why are you? Sure, they call you. They're really pretty, but, like, they're mean. Yeah. Like, I was just with people who were, like, consistently
mean. All you'll ever be is mean.
Yeah.
Exactly.
All you'll ever be is Miss Cookie.
So now I'm someone who, like, for the first time in my life is, like, kind of just trying to have, like, a really nice time with really nice people.
It's like, yeah, how do you have, like, a daily routine? How do you stay grounded?
What's grounded?
I think grounded is you wake up and, like, for instance, I have been, like, really trying to center myself in the mornings, but I do act out right when I wake up.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
I act out on my phone by looking at things. Yeah. Do you know what I mean?
Me too. And also, like, I wake up in a state of panic.
Yeah.
I have a trick for that. Okay.
Sleep with your phone in another room.
Yeah.
So the first...
But then how do you wake up to an alarm?
I have an alarm clock. That's but crazy. Also...
Now I've heard everything.
Yeah. I'll be honest. I also wake up naturally at like 6:30. Yeah.
That is
like,
the luckiest,
I'm not a person.
There. Oh, I woke up at noon today.
My sleep is so weird right now that I can't like...
I know.
Yeah, you...
Give it...
Yeah.
Forgive yourself.
You can't... Yeah. You gotta just take it day by day. But I am... That way, I wake up...
When did you go to bed?
If I am home, I'm in bed at 8:30.
No.
That's so good.
Yeah. I'm sometimes not asleep till 9:30.
But what about when you were doing the show? Like, what was your routine then?
My routine would be like... In Jagged, I very rarely went out after. Like, I had to be very sort of regimented. And also just like, I'm so tired. I would go home. Usually Derek and I would walk home together if it was nice out, or we'd take a car home.
Who's Derek?
Derek Klena, who's I was in the show with.
And K-Star.
One of my best friends.
A former K-Star.
A K-Star app.
My K-Star app. And then I'd get home and I'd walk my dog. I'd drink a lot of water.
Bliss.
And shower and sleep.
Did you feel so just like where you're supposed to be?
Yeah.
It's the best feeling in the world.
It's the best. I mean, you know.
I think I'm comfy. I think also like coming off doing my shows for most of June. Like July has been like, wait.
You're in a post-show depression.
I am.
Well, I'm in a strike depression too. Like,
yeah, of course. We're all.
Yeah.
It's getting so like long now. Like.
Well, it's just, now it's like really beginning.
Yeah.
Which is so scary.
What was your routine in the show?
I would just like sleep as late as possible. Yeah. And not see anyone. And when I get home, I steam my boat. I steam my steamer.
Yeah, steam. Yeah.
Steam. And then I would usually eat afterwards. I wasn't hungry before.
Yeah.
And then go to sleep late. But if I then sleep late, so whatever.
Yeah, that's.
Yeah.
But I was just like not. I think I wasn't seeing anyone, which I enjoyed. Then almost now, like, I don't know how to, like, be fun or be social. I know how to see, like, my good friends and talk for hours. Like, that's heaven.
Yeah, that's life.
But, like, even the other night, I, like, tried to, like, go to a bar and get, like, casual drinks with a group of people. And I was just like, is something wrong? Like, I'm in hell.
But wait, here's the thing. Here's my realization, my biggest realization. If you don't have fun with someone, like, sober or, like, in the afternoon or, like, going for a walk, you shouldn't go out with them at night.
I know, but sometimes it's hard because sometimes it's like... Like, I don't know. I went out last night and
how
I was
it?
Like, well,
I'm glad you went out.
I try so hard. I just,
it's not easy.
I can't enjoy myself.
But then why are you forcing yourself to? Well, you're not going to enjoy yourself.
I know.
But I was like, you don't want to sit in your apartment. You also don't want to be going through this. You,
you have to force yourself out a little bit right now.
Yeah. But it's maybe. Even besides like this current moment that I'm in, like, it's, I want so badly to go to places that people go. Have my little conversations and enjoy them. But I just, the second I'm there, all I want is to leave. You know what I mean?
I know exactly what you mean.
I can't find joy. What do I like? I think I'm in this moment.
I think you have to redefine.
I'm in this moment too of my life where I feel like multiple things that were huge parts of my identity have like all disappeared. And I am being afforded the opportunity to figure out who exactly I am, which I think I'm not quite sure of. But I really remember I used to think I really knew who I was. I used to really think I knew
that. That happens like every 5 years.
Yeah.
Before I went to college, I was like, I know exactly who I am. I know exactly what I like. I mean,
unrecognizable person.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. But I also think, Pat's moving to LA.
Yeah.
Big.
The only thing that's an opportunity to create a life for myself, and I'll see what kind of life I want to create.
I also think your life, the kind of life you want in general, is more suited to LA vibes.
Totally.
Yeah.
Totally. I know some things I definitely want to be a part of my life. I do think that, like, I have leaned on friends more recently, and it has been nice, because that's something I struggled to do.
Yeah.
So I'll continue to do that, and, like...
Meeting people is hard.
Girl,
you know,
people were so annoyed that cleaners were in our apartment when we were leaving.
Oh,
get why they were there.
Well,
they
can have your
Mary Cosby.
When do you move?
July 31st. I'm flying. I have a sublet for August, and then I'm gonna try to find like something permanent.
You're gonna have a great time.
Yeah, I just hope they don't try to give me. I hope they don't see my face and it gives me hell when when about like not having like very recent pay stubs. From like writing because of the strike, but
that's
Yeah, I have a lot of savings, and I bet like they. I mean, it's LA; they have to understand.
Yeah. Also, like when I move, like my business manager like writes a letter. This is what she's done. You know.
I just heard about something. Someone I need to get the name, but someone told me about like an app or a service where you pay them a certain amount and they act as your guarantor.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Whoa.
So you can get a place.
But I'm like annoying because I shouldn't need a guarantor.
Oh, same. I'm like. Yeah.
They yeah. don't. They yeah. When they you don't show them,
hey, I could pay for this many months, and they're like, we don't want that. It's like yeah. you want a letter from my mom and dad. I'm 30 years old. Yeah, yeah,
I yeah. literally was like, I will pay for the year yeah. up front, they and like, they were like, York, they can your what about your parents?
Yeah.
I'm like, oh really make me feel like a child. I worked really hard to pay my own rent.
Exactly. Oh, look at you climbing and hiking.
In New York, you can't, but maybe in California, you can do that.
Maybe. But gives when I see my face, I give them up. And then, Kath, what is your dream? Who do you want to be?
Where's your picket fence? Oh. Whoa.
Can I be honest? I want a picket fence.
Oh,
I really. I'm like very excited to have kids and yeah. have like
really.
Yeah. Like, oh. I can't wait to like.
Because you're kind of farm. You're kind of farm girls.
I really
farm
am.
Country. Farm
really she gardens. Farm she gardens. She bakes.
I do. I garden. I want to do those things. I make butter.
Like, hey, no, no, girl, April, be sweet.
She was confused.
She's sweet.
She just wanted to give me a little face brush.
She is. Being, she's obsessed with you. She's
so I'm obsessed sweet. With her, to be honest.
She's major.
Yeah, I just. I love you. I love you. I love you.
She loves back. She's petting me back.
Yeah, she just says, you pet me up. My dream is honestly like. I mean, I would love the opportunity to get to keep, like, being on stage and,
yeah.
and like, groups. Playing, you know, being an actor for the rest of my life and making music for fun. And I really just, it's so simple, but
hey, bro.
I love it. That I just kind of want to feel like this about everything.
I know.
I want to keep being able to, like, be surprised and excited by things and happy and... It sounds so simple, but it was never a goal of mine.
Yeah.
To just sort of
be happy.
Want to be happy. It was never important.
I used to think I wanted a white picket, but I don't want white picket anymore.
What do you want?
I'm not exactly sure, but I don't want kids. I don't want to feel... I do just want to feel, like, mobile. I'm realizing.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I want to feel like I can move through the world. I have trouble just taking care of myself, so, like, I just need to be... feel like I can do what I need to do. You know what I mean?
Yeah, big
time. I want to be well. I want to be sane is what I want,
yeah.
truly.
It's hard.
Yeah.
And to find, like, your definition of, like, what well is also.
Yeah.
You know? Kat, what do you want?
I don't know. I was thinking, like, I feel like we're programmed, especially as women.
Yeah.
To be like,
yes.
To be like, if we aren't outwardly successful, then we have, like, nothing, no value
yeah.
to society. So that's what I'm struggling with. Because I feel like whatever I accomplish, I can't even appreciate it because I'm just, like, so stressed about the next thing.
Well, yeah, it's like, how do I maintain it? How do I keep going?
Yeah. And lately, like, also, like, with the strike, which I'm, like, very excited about. I'm like, this is an amazing
needs
time in history.
Happen,
and it's,
yeah.
like, so massivo to be involved.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
I feel like it's like we had the pandemic, now we have the strike. And I feel like we've been living in such precarious conditions for what we want to do for so long.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think every now and then I just, like, I tip over and I'm just like, oh, my God, like. This really is so hard. Do I want to do something else?
Yeah.
yeah.
Which I don't.
Right.
But I want to, be able to, but as long as I can, I just think I need to be better about balance.
Yeah. And also, like, I think so much of it is being able to, like, two things. It's like, A, no one gives a shit about what you're doing. Like, the amount of times I walk into a room and people are like, my God, you've been so busy. Like, you've been doing so. And I've been like, I have not had a job in 6 months.
That's
yeah.
so real.
Like, the level at which, like, to think that if people knew how many things, when people are like, oh my God, why weren't you in the show? I'll be like, I tried.
Yeah. yeah.
I
was
like, let me tell you.
Nothing worse than being like, oh, you should do that. I'm like, yeah,
I'm like, yeah,
I know
it should
do that.
It should. Yeah.
Someone I love and adore was saying something like, oh, you guys should, like, record your podcast, like, in a,
yeah.
one of the studios with, like, a video. I'm like, yeah, we know.
Yeah, we should.
Do you need to act?
Oh, did you say that to me?
No, I would
Who
never.
Said that to me?
Another person you love and adore.
I can't imagine. Oh, yes, yes, yes. Anyways, yeah, I think
just like figuring out, like, also though that no one knows what's happening in your brain.
Yeah.
And like for me, the happiest I can be in like any given moment is like on a long walk with my dog when I don't have my phone and like no one recently. I'm not waiting for anyone to text me back.
Yep.
I am not waiting on a job. I'm
that's
just
so
like,
real.
I look at my dog and I'm like, man, you're my best friend.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we go for a walk and we just like.
That's what I thought that would be like.
You never know.
But can I be honest?
I know.
Willie and I didn't get like that for. Like,
yeah.
Dogs are.
Yeah.
Remember Allison and Lola?
Yeah, it's gotten to a point.
Okay. Well, let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What was I going to say? Oh, I just spaced. Oh, it was so interesting. It'll come back if it's
important. Wait, okay, oh, well, I was going to talk about this. You're talking about how, like, yes.
What'd you say?
You know the greatest films of all time are never made.
Oh.
You know the greatest loves of all time are over now.
Oh.
what was I going to say? Well, something you were saying made me think of, like, this culture around, like, when people are like, oh, like, I'm so mad at that. And something like, no one's thinking about you, girl. It's like,
yeah
they are. Like, yeah. I'm like, I think about people all the time. Like, I think about other people and what they do and how they act all the time. And they think about that with me, too. So it's like, we don't have to pretend that, like, no one's ever noticed anything anyone's done. It's like, no, we're all constantly watching and judging.
We are.
Yeah.
But I think that what's important about that is, like, the way you're thinking about it is, like, in relation to yourself often, right?
Yeah.
So it's sort of like, am I going to really spend my whole life trying to make someone else who doesn't give a shit about me at all happy?
Yeah.
Like, no. But then also, like, I need everyone to love me all the time. So
I don't need everyone to love me, but I need the right people to love me.
I do need everyone.
Yeah.
I really struggle with being disliked.
Leo realness.
Leo realness.
Wait, but also this week is particularly astrologically hellish, right?
It is.
Is it?
No, it's literally famously like hell this week.
So we're in a Venus retrograde in Leo, which is a really interesting... So it's actually really interesting because I believe it was... Oh, shite. I'm going to fuck this up. Mars went retrograde, I believe, and Leo went retrograde in Venus, which so basically makes a lot of sense that the actors are striking right now.
Yeah.
Because Leo is all, and Venus is all about creativity and
yeah.
You know, whatever.
Does this make sense of what's going on with me?
Yes.
Okay, I mean, it actually is a time where like big things are ending.
Yeah. It's a lot about like redefining like what you want in your relationships, the relationships that serve you, the ones that don't. Whenever Venus is in retrograde, like, it usually does illuminate a part in our lives that...
How long has it been in retrograde?
It enters retrograde, I believe, the first day of Leo, which is July 22nd. I'm really... Right. Could be messing this up. I'm not hip with my dates
right now. Get your chanty up.
Yeah.
I realize? That tarot about me... Remember the tarot you read about me, like, 7 months ago?
Which one?
Two of Cups.
Uh-huh.
It was wrong.
Do you have tarot cards?
Yeah, you want a tarot card?
Do you want me to do your cards?
Yeah, do my cards.
Yes! Oh my god, I am obsessed.
Okay.
You know, the greatest loves of all time are happening right now on Seek Twitter.
Okay, perfect. Okay, I'm going to shuffle them a bit and then ask you to.
Oh my god, in a time of need.
In a time of
path coming through. And this is April, the rug is Cacio e Pepe, the way she's a diary.
I love my toxic qualities. I love Cacio e Pepe.
What's not to love?
I don't know.
Yeah, I don't think that's toxic, but it is delicious.
It is the kind of thing where, like, moms will be like, I can only have one bite.
Yeah, it is.
You're like, I can have the whole bowl.
As someone who's tracking their macros.
It's tough.
Yeah.
This Avril glove is sending more.
Can I tell you something humiliating that someone said to me the other day?
What?
I was actively trying to flirt with someone, and I think I was doing a good job, and then he said, someone mentioned, they were like, how's your burn? I was like, oh, self-sort, it's fucking glove. He goes, oh, you know, when we met, you said you do, like, mostly, like, theater, and I just thought that was, like, an accent piece for you.
Yes.
And I was like, I have to never talk to you.
How did you burn the hand?
So there was a candle. I was, like, cleaning my apartment. I lit a candle. It was a nice candle.
Yeah.
Classic.
And I didn't, you know, leave the apartment. I didn't, whatever.
No.
It was burning for maybe 45 minutes. Like, all the things they tell you not to. I did, me being such a Virgo moon, I was like, I did everything right.
Yeah.
I followed all the rules. I did. Anyway, fire alarm starts going off. I was like, oh, weird, it must be a test, but I should check on that candle. And the whole thing, like the whole circumference, everything inside, all the wax was on fire. The flames were 3 feet in the air.
No.
And I was like, this isn't good. So I was like, well, my like short brain was like, put it in the sink, put water. And so I picked it up, and then I thank God I cook, because I was like, if it's an oil-based thing, like it's an oil, fatty thing that's on fire, you can't put water, the whole room
will go. I didn't know that.
Yeah, you want to starve it.
I know it once I hear it, but I wouldn't in the moment.
No. Yeah. I picked it up and then I was like, no, don't do that. And so then I moved it the other way to get it away from flammable things.
Oh my
things.
God.
And I was in the fire wax with my hands. I put it on the floor because it was the furthest way from flammable things. The wax spilled on the floor, which was on fire. The floor lit on fire.
Oh,
and then
thank God you're okay.
That was when I don't remember what happened next, but my next memory is I grabbed a mason jar that I like drink water out of. I emptied it. I flipped it over. I put it on top of the candle. At that point, the fire on the floor was out. There's wax in the towel. So I'm pretty sure I just patted it out.
That's crazy.
I just don't remember.
When was this?
About 6 weeks ago.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Oh my God. So when will you have to wear the glove until?
Probably another month or so.
Oh my god.
Holy shit. It's so funny. It's like, I'll see, like, I saw, like, glimpses of, like, oh, Catherine burned her hand. Like,
yeah.
I'm like, that's insane.
It was really bad. I'm having the craziest relationship with time right now where I'm wanting it to pass so badly that, like, every day I journal and I think, or I do a lot with when I'm leaving New York. So I'll be like, okay, today I'm leaving New York in 13 days. And then I go back 13 days ago on my journal and I read what I did that day and I remember that moment and I think, okay, that wasn't that long ago, like from then to now. I do it every day and, that's like, and now what I started doing is literally been like, okay, and then in 2 days it'll be this date, so like in 2 days it'll be the same distance from that, and so like that'll be really good, you know what I mean?
Oh,
like,
that's so
beautiful. To the point where you, when you just said a month, I was like, okay, well, like, so where was I a month ago, like how long does she have, like,
yeah.
Oh,
where was I a month ago? Different place.
While you're thinking about it, shuffle three times.
Okay, just like
put your energy in it, whatever you want to do.
Put your energy in it, girl.
However you feel.
I will say, like, vision. I remember, like, one of my early, really horrible breakups, a friend of mine was just like, this will one day feel like a weird dream.
Yeah.
And I was like, no, it won't, shut the fuck up. And now I'm like, that was the weirdest
feels
thing.
Feels like a weird dream.
Like, that was the weirdest fucking thing.
That was a weird dream. God. I do think with breakups, like, they're... Because what you lose is a part... For me, the hardest thing about, like, my sort of first love... was like, I lost a part of myself.
Yeah.
And that, I lost this, I love who I am now and I'm glad and whatever, but I lost this innocence of like, I didn't know people could be bad. Like, I knew that like Osama bin Laden was bad, but I didn't know someone could look at you and say, I love you. And then.
Yeah.
Make you
hurt your feelings.
Yeah. Just
How do you reconcile that? Because I
don't.
I feel like in some ways I'm still trying to get back to like a younger version of myself that hasn't been through hell and like, I know that's not realistic, so what do? You just accept it?
Exactly. I think so.
That sucks.
Are any of these good?
Yes.
Are any of bad?
Oh. Actually, no. Okay, so. You're depressed.
This is so cute, really?
Oh my gosh, you're sick egg.
Sick egg. It's honestly beautiful. I think... So the way I always read, I was taught years ago, the way I always read is like, when it's cards upside down, I always think it's like, this is a moment where your perspective needs to change.
Okay.
Where there's like a change that you're sort of capable, it's in your hands to change the situation, okay. Sort of.
Mm-hmm.
It seems like, things are going well. Like the net is that like,
yeah.
Life is okay.
Yeah.
Yes. Right?
Like, that you're in hell,
yeah.
But things are good. The things in your hands are good,
yeah.
Right? I think it's you thought you had this thing, Ten of Cups is a really beautiful card because it's all about recognizing the small things. It's all about the little moments, the you know, cup of coffee in the morning, these beautiful moments that you sort of like cherishing those,
yeah,
and what you. The thought you had in those moments.
Yeah.
Wasn't.
Yeah.
And so you're sort of reestablishing who do you want in your life?
Yeah.
Where do you want these people to fall in? You're falling into like, I think that you are in this moment of like sort of daydreaming about like, well, this is the life I thought I wanted. This is the life I think I want. This is like, where do I sort of begin? And then, but on top of that, all of this is like an extreme amount of pain that you're sort of sorting through. So it's extremely hard for you to be like, this is what I'm dreaming of, because ultimately you had a dream and it hurt.
Yeah,
so
you're
like, why would I ever want to dream about something if what I'm going to feel is only pain from it?
Yeah.
Like dreams lead to pain. So I'm not going to dream.
Yeah.
And I think that you are also sort of like entering a fairly like, I don't know if you have like a new job opportunity or if something is like coming in that's like sort of like not monetary, but like a tangible, like, like a, you know, not 9 to 5, but there's like a tangible something material that's happening.
Yeah.
That you're not thinking you're maybe not focusing on, but it's like a beautiful thing that's happening that like.
My book probably.
Your what?
My book.
Oh.
I should be working on my book, but I'm not.
Yes. Yeah. That this thing that's like. It's actually really beautiful, and it is something that you want. Like, shifting the perspective on, like, oh, this is a thing that could make me really happy, and this is a thing that I can, like, whatever you're feeling right now, all those complicated feelings, that's where you put it.
Yeah.
That's where you want to, all this energy of, like, I don't know what I want, I don't know who I want to be, and I don't know this, that's where it goes.
Yeah.
And so you're sort of like, nothing good happens, whatever, but it, ultimately, like, nothing good happens if you don't think it will.
Yeah.
Your book doesn't get written if you don't write it.
Like, I know.
And also it's, and thinking of it as like, this is an opportunity to feel really beautiful things. Like, this is an opportunity. Also, like, right now you're feeling like everything's really unfair.
Yeah.
Mm. And that's okay to feel that way. But ultimately remembering, like, okay, everything right now really sucks. What can I do about it?
Yeah.
What can I change? What can I not change?
Yeah.
And recognizing that, like, right now your whole world sort of got flipped. Everything you thought you wanted, everything you thought was happening, didn't, or changed, or...
Yeah.
And so you're now, you're sort of in this moment where instead of being like, everything fucking sucks and nothing works and like life is hell.
Yeah.
It's like, I'm in a lot of pain.
Yeah.
What can I do next?
Yeah.
Instead of saying nothing happens, nothing works. It's what can I do next?
Yeah, yeah.
How can I take this moment of like, what I thought I wanted isn't mine.
Yeah.
And ask yourself like, well, what do I have?
Yeah.
And finding that and like, realizing, like, ultimately, like, life isn't fair. Bad things do happen.
No.
And so do beautiful things. If you can believe that beautiful things can happen, you can also... Or if you believe that bad things can happen, you can also believe that beautiful things.
Oh.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay, thank you so much.
That was so beautiful.
I tried to make it concise.
No, that was really good.
That was kind of sport on.
Yeah.
Okay, great.
When you unlocked, so when you unlocked the book chapter.
I was going to say, that's really cool that you're writing a book. It's amazing.
Yeah, I'm not writing it, but I am supposed to be writing it.
Well, I...
You will write it.
Because when I said that was Page of Pentacles, so Pentacles is like... sort of like tangible sort of like material goods and whatnot. Yeah. And so it's usually like a new job opportunity or like, and it's a contract. Like Page is also something that's very much like the like go-getter. Like the Page is like, let's fucking go.
Yeah.
So
I gotta do that. Yeah.
Do I remember that song when it was Lil Mama and Avril Lavigne?
I love the song. When
Lil Mama and Avril Lavigne.
Hey, you.
I my lipstick is good.
Or like Lil Mama was like my lip. Sick as poppin', like, and that's how Lil Mama came to be. Like my lips, sick as poppin'. My lip gloss is poppin'. My lip gloss is
cool. Lip. The song Lip Gloss.
Yes.
Yeah.
But then that's just Lil Mama, and then Lil Mama came on to Girlfriend.
For Hey You. Yeah. I like a girl. Yeah. That was the dance we had.
Wait.
Oh really?
Wait. Is it? Am I overstepping a line if I ask for you to read mine?
Not at all. Freaking. I'll shuffle
it. Mrs. Thing.
Yes.
She keeps eating heads.
I love doing
it. She's a woman now. You're very good. I didn't know you read tarot. You're so good at it.
I was in a shop like 8 years ago for a friend's bachelor party. And I said, to the shop owner, I was like, hey, it's my friend's bachelor party. I want to do something that like looks really ornate, but I really don't want to do anything that's like spooky and like,
and
is like going to get involved with like spirits and whatnot. Could you, do you have anything? And they were like, sure. You know you're a witch, right? And I was like, oh no, thank you.
Oh,
I was sort of like, I don't want to.
You are a witch. I can tell.
Where was the shop?
I can tell because I saw you dancing in the woods at midnight.
How'd it go?
How were my steps?
You're grinding.
You were giving Jennifer Lawrence naked fighting on the beach.
That's all I want to give.
You're grinding on the bed.
That's all I want to give. Shuffle three times.
Okay, thank you. I'm so excited.
But yeah, and then I was like, oh no, thank you. And they were like, I don't want your money. I don't want anything, but you should just know. And then they kept saying things that like had happened in my past and like, it was just uncanny. And they were like, I don't want your money. I just think you should know, come to my class. Just, you know, here's my number and we became friends and they taught me how to read tarot. They taught me a lot about, you know, herbs and candles and whatnot. And so then I started,
I don't really know how to shuffle, but I did my best.
That's all. It doesn't matter. Yeah. Okay. Whee! Beautiful.
Okay.
Beautiful.
Are you excited, Miss Kiki? Well,
wait. I will say, when we're walking out the stairs, she now knows at night when we, as soon as we walk out the door of my apartment, she starts jumping to be carried like a baby. She needs to be carried like a baby to the middle of the park at nighttime because she doesn't trust the sidewalk in front of my apartment.
Beautiful.
Because at night, because of the 4th of July.
So many wands. You're so creative. A lot of wands.
I want to take a picture.
Yeah, take a picture.
With my friend's phone.
Did you just finish a tour? Were you traveling for a bit? Because it sounds like you're just coming back from a little journey. So you're
your Joe shows.
About to travel again.
Oh.
Where are you going?
Where are you going, girl? I'm going to London and Edinburgh.
Are you thinking about marriage?
And
maybe not wanting it?
Oh, that's so interesting.
Or like the institution, is that something you're sort of like questioning? Do you feel like complex about like
I think I do want it. I'm just not ready for it.
Fair. So the Four of Wands is always I guess maybe more Four of Cups. I always think fours are very much like moving into the next chapter. Anyway, it's what's really beautiful is you have the Queen of Wands, which is all creativity, and then you have the King of Cups over it. So it seems to me, and I would guess, that you're in a moment of like you have this sort of like a lot of creative and like ideas and like a lot of writing and all these things. And then on top of that, crossing that is like an accessibility to your emotions. It feels, I don't know if it's new or if it's just sort of like blossomed. Like there's something right now that feels very like you have your emotional life is meeting your creative life in a big way. Does that feel?
Yeah, I guess. I think it'd be cool if it would.
Okay. Possibly, partnership certainly crowning you. Oh, Two of Cups.
I feel crowned.
That's beautiful. I do think you feel a little stuck at starting a new chapter.
100%. That's how I feel.
Okay. Yeah. 2010. Because the Fool's reversed, and that's sort of like what you're standing on, and so, the Fool is always what happens at the beginning of a chapter. The Fool is always what happens at, like, you know, you're starting a new moment, you're starting a new year, you're about to have a birthday. But it's reversed. So it's sort of like, you know, it's coming, you know, you need it.
Mm-hmm.
But like, how does it begin and why can't you start it and what's happening?
Totally.
And I think that actually makes a lot of sense now looking at this, because it's sort of like, I think right now, especially at our age, everyone is like, everyone's getting married. Everyone is moving into this chapter. Mm-hmm. And it sort of feels like, well, this is what we're supposed to do. We're supposed to move on. We're supposed to do this. We're supposed to do this. But that's not entirely like, it's sort of about what we've been discussing, which is like redefining what you want in your life and what makes you, what's your next step? What do you want for, and how do you negotiate? Like, what do I want? What was I told I want? What am I supposed to do, et cetera? Which is also really interesting because you have the Nine of Cups, which is all about contentment, which I think you're having a hard time finding the things right now in your life that make you feel very happy in the small ways.
Totally.
And like the, you know, I think we've been taught like the happiest day of your life is your wedding. It's your career goal should be an award. You want a series, you want this, you want all these different things. And ultimately, like, you reach these milestones or you find these people and they don't solve your problems. And so it gets very confusing when you're building your life. Like, what is going to actually make me feel content and what's not? Granted, I do feel like in your career, like, or in sort of like the material moments in your life, the things that the tangible moments, you're in this sort of moment of like, things are pretty good.
They are really good. I want to be more grateful.
Yeah. I think that it's sort of like, it's going well. There's a choice, like a creative choice. There's like two endeavors maybe that you have, or
perhaps
it seems as though like it's honestly seems like you're an extremely like creative and like writing. The wands are always like it's writing, it's creativity, arts, it's all that. And it seems like that's sort of like an overwhelming, obviously, theme in your life.
That's beautiful.
And I think if anything, it's like if you don't have a choice yet, it's absolutely certainly incoming.
You're about to have a choice.
I'm about to have a choice.
You're about to have a choice.
Yeah, it's cool.
And I think
it's good to have a choice.
Yeah.
I think for you, it's like the biggest thing right now is understanding like you have everything you need.
Yes, I do. I do.
You haven't done yet is decide what you want and what's going to make you feel unstuck. Is putting one foot in front of the other and like deciding like when you wake up in the morning and you make your cup of coffee, is that like realizing that every single thing you do, actually this is a really interesting thing. When someone once told me that the first thing when you want to change your life and you want to feel unstuck is to like literally get out of bed on the other side.
Oh,
just like change one thing about your routine. So if you always use almond milk, start using oat. Like literally something that's
you
just
guys
like,
heard it here first.
You heard it here first.
That's beautiful.
But just doing one thing that changes your routine. If you always make a left out of your apartment, make a right.
Ooh.
So and that I like just that. Gets you.
I like that subconscious sort of.
It's an unstuck thing.
Because she keeps making it left lately.
Honestly, though. But I think it's like that could help you feel unstuck for what's happening next. Oh. Just like make a left, make a right.
Thank you so much.
Is that helpful?
Yes. You're so gifted.
I mean,
that's very spot on to how I've been feeling. Like, I need, like, I want to be appreciative and overthink less.
I hate to do it, but should we do
Let's do, the next segment is kind of...
Do you feel hot today?
Yeah, do you feel hot today?
Actually, yeah.
You look really thank hot.
Thank you. I'm really serving, like, going to war.
But, I'm upset. Yeah. You are. You're shaking.
In so many ways.
We're struck. We're struck.
I'm struck.
I feel hot. I keep wanting to take a picture of myself in the mirror shirtless, but then I feel silly and don't.
Why?
Well, take the picture. It. You don't have to post it if that's what makes you feel silly.
You should, we should take as many pictures of our beautiful young bodies as humanly possible.
Do you feel hot today?
You look hot.
Thank you. I feel okay. Yeah, I have a crick in my neck, which can kind of...
That really throws out.
But I don't. It doesn't make me feel not hot. It's just annoying.
And do you...
Do you have a crush of the week?
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's yours?
I have so many. I'm texting someone right now. They're like, fun. We're putting...
How'd you meet? You don't say. You don't say.
It'll give it away. There's a fear that there might be overlap.
My crush of the week is... I have to say, it's Catherine, because I was in, like, such a depressive, and you've really turned my day around.
Well, my question was going to be how, at the start of the episode, everyone was feeling a
little... We were all kind of crying. We're going to admit it, two-thirds of us were crying at the end of the episode, and we're going to go ahead and say...
And how do you feel now?
Much better. You know, I go through this thing where, like, now I feel better, and now I feel guilty for having, like, made Brian's morning hell.
Don't feel guilty.
I guess catching up on Love Island. I guess mine is Catherine because she just was mistreated.
Yes.
What happened?
She just was mistreated in the challenge.
Yes, yes.
Just like her person that she was investing her time in, like just in a challenge, kissed someone else for no reason in front of everyone. And so disrespectful. It's disrespectful.
It's disrespectful. She's getting mugged off.
Yeah. I hate
who?
Fucking Mitch.
Oh, just wait.
Oh, really?
Oh, Pat.
Him trying to control Molly.
Oh, Pat, like, Mitch gets worse. When the guys try to control the girls,
I'm like, the worst is, like, the British public doesn't realize. They, like, side with the boys. It's so annoying.
I do agree, but I do think everyone hates Mitch.
All right, good.
Because just wait. Okay, and last question. Oh, my God. Are you mad at us that I was crying before you came in?
Really mad? No. To be honest, I really hate, like, I mean, Kat and I have never in our lives ever small talked with each other.
I don't know how to small talk.
So I was really glad. I'm so glad that, like, our first conversation was just really, like, we just went in.
Yeah, yeah.
So I felt very, like, oh, this is my space. Yeah, I feel really good.
You guys can be my top eight.
Yeah.
You too, April.
Did you guys see the video of Taylor Swift accidentally singing Sapphire Tears on MySpace instead of my face?
No.
And she laughed.
My big takeaway from the Eras concert is that she is so beautiful. It makes me feel crazy.
Yeah.
It is so good.
It's wild.
Every outfit.
Let's talk about, because I want to talk off air for a bit.
Sure.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for coming on the pod. We love you. Where can people find your music, your life, your vibes?
I'm on the internet at Catherine Gallagher everywhere.
Perfect.
I'm so available on the internet.
Me too. Thank you guys for listening. Live, laugh, love.
Seek treatment. If you're boring, it's fun. Seek treatment. If you're unlucky in love.